of Christ. I have no reference to any denomination, for they never found or existed during the first century and under the apostolic age. Nor do I refer to some of the churches of Christ that wear the name itself, who no longer hold to the head of Christ and his teachings. Ephesians 4, 15, 16, and Galatians 2, 18, and 19. The Holy Spirit speaks of only one church, and the only one you're able to read in the Bible. Ephesians 1, 22 and 23 says the church is the body, and Ephesians 4, 4, the body is the church, one body. Our Lord spoke that he's going to build a church, and he said that not even the gates of Hades shall prevail against it. Matthew 16, 18. The one he set up at that Pentecost, 33 A.D., through the inspired apostles, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, Apostle Peter opened the entrance of the church as he preached the seed of the kingdom to his hearers. It consisted of sinners who obeyed the gospel, and by repenting of the sins and being baptized for the forgiveness of sins and to receive the dwelling of the Holy Spirit, and then as evidence of God's children, and God added them to the church. Acts 2, 38, 39, 47, and Galatians 4, 6, and 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 1 Corinthians 15. Time limit, so I'm just quoting the scripture to you, so you read them. In like manner today, as they were saved in that era, first century, any sinner must comply to the same terms the Holy Spirit laid down before God ever added them to the church. Or they can remain lost in their sins. For God will never change his mind for your mind. He's never going to please you. We have to please him. That's Galatians 1, 6 through 10. For anyone who is not a member of the church, don't meet those terms that God gave down in the Acts 2nd chapter, is lost, is not added to the church. Because the Bible declares, all the saved are added to the church. So there's no unsaved out of the church. They're all in the church. The New Testament church is referred to several names. And one of the most common ones, the most of us are familiar, the Church of Christ, Romans 16, 16. Now, this may not be politically correct according to the liberals, but it's a Holy Spirit-inspired correction. He said it, and I believe it. The Holy Spirit declares that Christ Church is one. And I can put up with the lips and put up with all the comments and everything you might say about it, but I cannot put up with the wrath of God. Hebrews 10, 31. Any church of Christ of today who strive to meet to the pattern and pattern itself according to the divine pattern revealed in the scriptures and strive to be faithful stewards of the church that belongs to Christ and they strive to be faithful to their Lord and Savior is one of the churches that belong to Christ. Luke 6, 46. Why call me Lord, Lord, do not the things I say? Hebrews 8, say, build everything according to the pattern. Hebrews 8, 5. The churches that strive to do this, they belong to Christ. It don't belong to the leaders, it don't belong to its members. It is the Lord's church. Therefore, its leaders and its members must be careful, not look up the denomination, how to run the Christ church, nor the churches of Christ that are liberal. They don't set the pattern for us. The Lord already gave the pattern, and we must comply to that. It is not ours. It'll belong to any man. It is not up to you or me decide how to run a church or do as we please. Therefore, its leaders and its members are not to do as denominationalism, nor the liberal congregation of the Church of Christ were not free, nor we have the right to run the church as we like they do, because it belongs to them. The church is not ours. Denominational people can do that, and the liberal can do that, because those congregations belong to them. That's why. Therefore, members and leaders of Christ, we need to be careful not to be influenced by denominational thinking, to do with Christ's church as they do with their churches. For Satan has many servants who are very crafty in misleading us and getting the church of Christ to be corrupted. Just like Jeroboam, 1 Kings 12 chapter, after God gave him the 10 tribes, he was a little afraid that he's going to lose his kingdom. And he said, I got to come up with a solution so I may lose them. And he said, what I do, I build a place of worship in Dan, and a place of worship in Bethel, and then I tell my people, this is the most convenient for you. You don't have to travel many miles to worship. And besides that, you're allowed to do as you please. That's in 1 Kings 12 chapter. We are not free, nor did Christ give any of us any authority to do the church as we please. We don't have that freedom. If you think you can do it, I think it's time for you to quit calling Lord, Lord, because not your Lord. Denomination and the liberal churches of Christ, can they do those things? Because it belongs to them. But 2 John 9 chapter, verse 3:11, they don't have Christ nor the Father. If they don't have Christ the Father, Christ and the Father, they don't belong to God. Therefore, as members and leaders of Christ's church, we need to be careful not to be influenced by them, but do what the Lord tells us to do. Well, let's jump some pages here. Denominations are subject to change because they're built on human nature, and human beings change. The Lord's church is built on divine nature. It cannot change because God is unchangeable. His character is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we feel that we can change things in the Lord's church. We need to come to the reality. There is consequence. When those disciples told Christ, don't realize those Pharisees were offended because he opposed their doctrine, the teachings of men. And Christ said, listen, any plan that God did not plan is going to be rooted up. And I tell you, any liberal church, any denomination, if not built on the Word of God, it's going to be rooted up. Amen. It's going to be destroyed. It's not ours. It belongs to him. On this particular lesson, I'd like to consider two things. And that is this. The Church of Christ belongs to Christ, not to the leaders nor its members. We are stewards of the church. We don't own it. We're stewards. Christ, in Matthew 16:18, said, he'll build my church. But he didn't say why his church. You know, you could build a house for somebody, but it's not yours. He said, I build my church. But he didn't say how. But the Holy Spirit tells him why it is his church. In Acts 20, chapter verse 28 said, he purchased the church with what? His own blood. That's why it belongs to him. He bought it with his blood. Every sinner that repents of his sins and is baptized to wash away his sins, to come under Christ's blood as they were baptized, they're in the church of Christ. They're in it. Now, how long you stay there, that's up to you. Okay, now keep in mind, the body, the church is Christ's body. Where does the blood flow? In the body. If you're not in Christ's body, you don't have his blood. And if you don't have his blood, you have no forgiveness. And if you don't have his blood, he has mercy on you. You don't belong to him. It flows freely. I'm going to skip some points here. You know, it's hard to preach a message like this. It takes time. But the Church of Christ, he's the rightful owner. Its leaders, its members, got to keep in mind that we're nothing but more than stewards. And every steward eventually has to give account to God. Mark 13, chapter verse 34 and 35 tells you that Christ is going to take a long journey. And he left his house. That's the Lord's church. Then he gave every man according to the work. And then he's going to come back. And every steward has to give the account what they did with the body of Christ, the church. His leaders and his members are nothing more than the stewards of his church. He has assigned us to do his work. He didn't assign us to change his plan. He didn't assign us to change his mission. He didn't assign us to change his term of pardon. He didn't assign us to change the standard of holiness. He assigned us to carry what he told us to do in the Church of Christ. And a steward needs to be found faithful to God. 1 Corinthians 4, chapter 1 and 2, and 1 Peter 4, 10. But in this particular day and age, many churches of Christ and some members are no longer care about the Lord's church and being a steward of it, and they're not faithful, and they're not faithful stewards. For they no longer hold to the head, to the gospel, nor the standards of membership and its leaders. They only do what they wish to do and enjoy the fellowship of the saints without complying to the rules of God. I heard of an incident. I don't know if it's true or false. And I don't know if that building belongs to the faithful church or not. But in a particular wedding, they were serving alcohol. And if you didn't drink alcohol, they had a soft drink to give you. Now, such individuals think, once in grace, always in grace. But that's not true. Titus 2nd chapter, verse 11, tells you the grace of God teaches to deny ungodliness and worldly lust. Once a faithful church or member depart from the faith and do as they please, doing things that Christ has forbidden, they never authorized, Galatians 3:17, have failed and have fallen from grace of God, and they're not part of the Church of Christ. You don't believe that? Read 1 Corinthians 4, chapter verse 1. They departed from the faith. Who are those? Members of the church. Could be a whole church. So they left the church. They're no longer God's church. We need to be careful. We must hold to the Church of Christ, to the head. As churches who willfully allow preachers or members to live a sinful life, that is the Lord's church no more. Now, it's possible the members sinning, but the leaders or many of the members don't know. But I'm talking about willful congregation that allow these things. And allow false teaching in the congregation. Such individuals are no longer holy to the head. Galatians 2:19. Take 18 with that. And it shows you that once we leave the teaching of Christ, you no longer have the head of Christ. And I'm going to tell you, a body without a head is dead. It's not alive no more. It's gone. You say they got a lot of activities. Yes. You knock a head chicken off, and it has a lot of activities, but it's still dead. We have seen, I have seen, I don't know about you folks, But I've seen where some congregations allow social drinking. They allow dancing along the chaperone. They allow ungodly movements. They allow displaying their bodies. Now, let me ask you a question. Do you wear your dress the way you're dressed to glorify God or to attract yourself? Yeah. They wear makeup and jewelry. Is makeup all right? Well, some people think so. Let me tell you, God used illustrations to illustrate certain facts. When he wanted to teach something righteous and good, he used a righteous person. When he's trying to teach the woman to be holy and righteous, who did he use? Sarah. 1 Peter 3 chapter. When God's trying to show that he tried something wicked, what did he use? He used a woman with makeup and jewelry. That's in Jeremiah 4, chapter verse 30. The Judah, that's not talking about a little woman, by the way. He's using a woman to illustrate the nation of Judah. And he said, they dress with their makeup, the jewelry, and the whole works to make an appeal to the enemies. Now, why did God use that? Because he don't approve jewelry. He don't approve the makeup. Also, in Ezekiel 23, chapter verse 40. Let me ask you this question. Why do we wear jewelry? Beautify? Edify? Artificial beauty? Or we do it to glorify God? What jewelry can bring glory to God? You don't want to bring more glory to God? Your holy, purity, life. Then, just look at the makeup. And you say it's all right, okay. Do you like the way God made you? Are you content with the way God made you, created you? Okay, why are you improving it? If you're happy with the way God made you, what are you improving for? That's a slap in the face to the Creator, telling you're not happy with Him. Galatians 3:17. I'm going to get to the point. Okay, here's another one. The Church of Christ is where all the saved are in, and it is the Savior of the body. Remember Acts 2:47? God add all that are what? Saved to the church. Ephesians 5:23 said, He's the Savior of the church. He's not Savior of this body or that body or any other individuals. He's the Savior of the church. And that's his church. And that particular church, Christ, that obtained the grace of God, must maintain and strive to maintain his blood. Because once you lose the blood, you die. You cannot live on. And the only way you keep that blood flowing is through faith, obedience. And once we get a blood clot, if we don't remedy that blood clot, it'll kill you. It's fatal. And the blood clot is sin. If the church does not remove the sin, it'll perish. And I have to chop it down. The whole church can be lost. If you don't believe it, notice Revelation 2nd chapter and verse 4 and 5. Christ told church Ephesus, to the whole church, if you don't straighten out your act, I'm going to remove the candlestick. You know the candlestick is the church. Now, he did not remove it physically. No more he removed us physically. He just took you out of the record. That's all he did. Now, if you want to maintain the blood of Christ, and maintain as a church of Christ, or as an individual member, that blood must flow. If it don't flow, we perish. 1 John, 1st chapter, verse 7 said that we walk in the light, as he in the light, we have fellowship with the Son and the Father. And notice the last verse, praise, and the blood of Christ washes all sin. Now, what are you talking about? Well, you're not talking about willful sins. You mean I can get drunk and cuss and everything, and God's going to forgive me because I just, Christ's blood is going to take care of it? No. He's not talking about willful sins. Willful sins is in 1 John 1, 9 and Proverbs 28, 13. He's talking about sins that we as a congregation sometimes don't know we're doing something wrong. And sometimes individuals, we don't know we're doing something wrong. But God's blood is taking care of that. But what he will not take care of is a willful sins. Hebrews 10, 26 said, a willful sin cannot have what? No more forgiveness. All we can look forward is the wrath of God. And he said in verse 29 down, he said, you know how the Jews died when they disobeyed the law of God? They got stoned right away. And then he goes to tell you in verse 31, it's stoned to the Christians, not sinners. Fearful sin to fall into the living God. How do we cleanse our sins? Because Ephesians 5 chapter verse 26 tells you that God is cleansing the church. Well, he said through the word. But the word itself has no power to cleanse. No more the water has power to forgive your sins. What is it? It's an obedient faith. 1 Peter 1:22. We are purified by obeying the truth through the Holy Spirit. As you hear the truth, the Holy Spirit works in your life and is provoking you to do something about your life. Get yourself right. And same thing with us. As we learn the truth and we find our errors, we correct ourselves and we confess to God they can be forgiven. So we go on in our faith, walking as a Christian or as a congregation collectively. I'm going to close with a statement. You know, a lot of times people feel, and it's true, congregations have done what they think. They're doing things they're supposed to be doing, having things they shouldn't do in the congregation. And they think that the Lord's church all the time. You may feel you're the Lord's church, but God has already removed you. According to Revelation 2 chapter verse 4 and 5. And as a member, you may feel you're part of the family of God. Listen. Just because the Lord's church, the leaders, haven't disfellowshipped you, it doesn't mean God hasn't cut you off. You've been cut off a long time ago. Apostle Paul did not disfellowship some of the members of the church of Corinth, the third chapter. He called them carnal-minded. Didn't he not? He disfellowshipped those of sin that was influenced the congregation and everything else and cut them off. That's the fifth chapter. But according to Romans 8 chapter, in verse 5 through 13, it carnal minded will go to heaven. They're lost. They're not subject to the word of God. I tell you, my friends, I need to close it because time's running out. As collective Church of Christ, we need to strive together to keep the church the way God wants it. You say this church is not perfection. I agree. But you ever read Ephesians 4 chapter 1 through 4 through 6? It says endeavor. Be working on it constantly. And if you're working at it, you're okay. If you're not working with it, you're ready to doom. And as a Christian, you need to get yourself right too. Get that mind of yours set away from yourself. Christ did not die that you do as you please. He rose that we live for him. 2 Corinthians 5 chapter, verse 15. I thank you. I do? Well, I already closed it.